God today. That's our primary purpose when we gather together, really, is to meet with God. I know some of you come because you like the friends. Some of you come because you like the music. Some of you come because the pastor's a fantastic preacher. But more than anything, we want you to connect with God. That's really what we're about today. And so even as I preach, you know, I'm going to share a lot of my own thoughts, but I want you to listen for what God is saying to you, okay? It might not even be something I directly say. It just might be something that kind of hits you as we talk this morning, okay? Today we're going to be in Genesis chapter 28. You can turn there. And I just want to give a brief disclaimer that I am not Pastor Jacob. I know he's young and energetic, and I maybe am not, but I'm more mature, and with age comes wisdom. Just in case you missed it last week, Jake made a comparison to me, so I thought payback a little bit this morning. Hey, this morning I want to talk about an encounter with God, and we have been in this season of just talking about renewal, and each of us needs a personal renewal. We need to get stretched. We need to get washed in the Word. We just need to be renewed so God can fill us yet again with His presence and His power, and whatever new thing He may have for us, we need renewed. And we need an encounter with God. We need His presence with us. How many want an encounter with God? Yes. All right. Genesis 28. Would you please stand in honor of the Word? We're going to start at verse 10, and I'll read through the end of the chapter. You can follow along. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth." All right, you may be seated. Here we are, probably a familiar story. Jacob's traveling, and he is on his way to Haran from Beersheba. And there's just some introductory things here that are important. Beersheba means well of an oath. So it's a well. There was a well in that area. And he's heading to Haran, which means parched. And so he's going from a place where there's plenty of water to a place where it's dried out. And in fact, he's all alone. It's nighttime. He's in the wilderness. And if you know the story of Jacob, he's used to being the homeboy. Remember? His brother Esau was the one who liked to be out in the wilderness hunting, but Jacob stayed home and was in the tents. And so here he is out in the wilderness, out of his comfort zone. It's night, it's dark, he's in the wilderness. If you're feeling alone and in the wilderness, you just might be on your way to encountering God. Now, in the natural, we perceive this kind of situation in a negative manner. When we feel alone, when we feel like there's darkness surrounding us, we perceive it as negative, but it could be that God is setting us up for an encounter with him, because that's exactly what happened to Jacob. Remember when Moses was in the desert, he encountered God in the burning bush. Gideon was the one I was trying to think of. Gideon was hiding in his wine press under oppression when he had an encounter with the living God. And so the desert, the dry time, the wilderness is not necessarily a bad thing. We can have an encounter with God in those circumstances. Now, this entire event in Jacob's life was brought on because Esau, his brother, was thinking of killing him. You know, and sometimes the enemy wants to ruin us. Actually, he always wants to ruin us, but sometimes we especially feel it, okay? But God turns this situation into a powerful encounter instead. If things are looking bleak for you, I want you to just hang on, because God may be up to something. And I want you to see what God is up to. And so let's talk about the vision. Here in verse 12, we see that Jacob has this dream or a vision of a stairway to heaven. The first thought I have for you is God is connected with your earthly situation. That ladder, that stairway was on the earth and it reached all the way up to heaven. Angels ascending and descending. God is connected with your situation. You are not really all alone. In fact, this is actually a picture of Jesus, because in John 1:51, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Jesus is the way to heaven. He is the connection between God and us. In fact, Hebrews 7:24 and 25 says, "Because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for us." He is standing between us and God, and he's interceding for us. God is connected with our circumstances. In fact, in verse 15, he says, "I am with you. I will watch over you wherever you go." And sometimes it might seem like we're all alone, but God is always with you. You are never alone. God said this in Isaiah 43, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze," because God is always with us. Jesus said a similar word in Matthew 28, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So you are never alone. Never. God is there. So we need a clear vision and understanding that God is already with us. Jesus is already interceding on our behalf. In fact, sometimes we simply miss his presence because we're not paying attention. He is already there. He's already ministering in your situation, but you might notice it because you're not really paying attention. And so that brings me to the vigilance. Vigilance, we need to pay attention. Here Jacob in verse 16 says, "Surely this is the house of God, and I wasn't even aware of it." We can be in God's presence and not even know it. Remember, Samson experienced God's power and the anointing was on him in a powerful way. But there came a time when the spirit departed from him and Samson had no clue. He was unaware of it. The Pharisees in the New Testament looked Jesus square in the face, eye to eye, and they didn't realize that they were talking to God. Sometimes God is right here in our presence, but we're not paying attention. We're not vigilant. We're not seeing that he's here. I want you to know God can show up anywhere, any place. We just need to be ready at all times. Be ready. Have you ever had one of those random encounters with God? You're just going about your daily business, and then God goes, boom. And whoa, God just said something to me. I wasn't expecting that at all. You know what I'm talking about? If you don't, then get ready, because God can do that. I remember a time I was driving a school bus, and God gave me a word. And I followed up on it, and sure enough, the person that I felt like God was leading me to encourage said that was perfect timing. Driving a school bus. Rowdy kids in the back. But God spoke to me. Just be ready. God can be there in a moment's notice. Now, in Jacob's case, he became aware of God's presence while he slept. Now, that's a lesson for us as well. We need to just quiet ourselves sometimes and listen so we can hear God. Sometimes we don't hear God just because we've got too much other things going on, too much other noise going on. Know what I'm talking about? Turn off the TV once in a while. Turn off the radio once in a while. Turn off your iPod or whatever you're using nowadays and just listen. What is God saying? Psalm 46:10, God says, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we're just so busy, we don't have time to really listen. So take the time and listen. Remember in 1 Kings 19, when Elijah had an encounter with God, and there was a great wind, and there was a great earthquake, and there was a fire, but God wasn't really in any of those things. But then there came a gentle whisper. And Elijah heard the whisper. And he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then he heard the voice of the Lord. It was in the gentle whisper. So we need to be vigilant, pay attention, and listen to what God might say in any moment. And then we can hear his voice. And let's talk about the voice of God for a moment. I want you to know this. When God speaks, things can change suddenly. Think back to the creation story in Genesis chapter 1. God said, and things came to be. Just because God spoke his voice. God is speaking. Are you listening? In verse 13, when God speaks, he calls himself the God of Abraham and Isaac. Now he's talking to Jacob. But he says, I'm the God of Abraham, and I'm God of Isaac. Now, later on, he will be called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's the way we're familiar with it. But in this case, he only calls himself the God of Abraham and Isaac because Jacob had to make a personal decision to follow God. He couldn't follow just because his grandpa and his dad did. He needed to decide for himself. In fact, we find a little bit later in verse 21 that he does, and he calls him my God. Not just the God of grandpa or the God of dad. He's my God. You can't follow God through someone else. You need to listen for yourself. Your parents can't get you to heaven. Your spouse can't get you to heaven. Your pastor can't even get you there. You have to make a personal decision to follow Christ. And I believe God's voice is calling to each and every one of us. Some he calls into full-time ministry. Some he calls to be the backbone of the local church. He calls all of us to serve in some way. And he calls us all to a closer walk with him. God is speaking. And whenever we encounter God in person and in power, we have to make a decision. Will we follow or not? Will we believe or not? Will we surrender or not? It's a personal choice. Joshua 24:15, familiar verse. If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Make a personal choice. And then follow through with the vow. Jacob made a vow here. In verse 20, we see this. And this making a vow is all too rare today. Okay? The only time we really only rarely see a vow is in a wedding. And oftentimes those aren't even legit. Right? I mean, the divorce rate in America is pretty awful, right? So those vows oftentimes really don't mean anything. I know when we do pre-marriage counseling, we talk about the vows and how important they are. It's a big deal. We need to be people who keep our promises and keep our commitments. God says it's better to not make a vow than to make one and not keep it. That's how God looks at it. He wants us to be faithful people. Now, Jacob's vow was about following God for the rest of his life. How about you? Have you made a decision? Have you made a vow that you will follow God the rest of your life? Is it a permanent decision? Will you stick with it no matter what? Okay, that second question is where the rubber really meets the road. Will you stick with it no matter what? Because there will be challenges. Jesus said there will be trouble, there will be persecution, and yet he would call us to make a vow that we will follow him all the days of our life. In Jacob's case, he vowed to relinquish control, he vowed to receive the Lord, he vowed to release his possessions to God. He vowed to relinquish control. He said, "You will be my God." In other words, you're going to be in charge. He vowed to receive the Lord. He said, "This will be God's house. You will always be welcome." And he vowed to release his possessions. He said, "I will give you a tenth of everything you give me." That releasing of his possessions was part of Jacob's vow. He understood that everything he had came from God in the first place. And here's a principle about giving that precedes the law. We encourage giving 10% of your income to God. It's a biblical principle that started before the law and was endorsed by Jesus in the New Testament as well. And at the very least, we should understand this. God has given you forgiveness and eternal life. Don't you feel compelled to give something in return? You need to make a decision. Will he be your God or not? Will you follow and serve him for the rest of your life or not? It's decision time. And I just want to pause here for a moment. If you would, just close your eyes for a moment. Have you made that decision? Have you decided to follow him for the rest of your life? If you haven't, I urge you to do it today. It will be the best decision you've ever made. And it will be worth it. All right, you can open your eyes. In verse 13, God says, "All people will be blessed through you." And here's the primary purpose for encountering God. We often think it's for our own benefit. I just want to get together with God and meet him. But that's not really his intent. In Genesis 12, verse 3, he said these exact same words to Abraham. God's presence with us is not just for our enjoyment and benefit. Okay? Now, we get some enjoyment and benefit when we experience the presence of God. But that is not the primary purpose. It's to bless others. People need the Lord. And perhaps we don't experience God's presence or see revival simply because our motives are wrong. James 4:3 talks about the motives that we have. And if it's all about me, 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 God's not all that interested in that kind of a prayer. But it's if I can bless others, then God is listening. He wants us to have that attitude. God, we want your presence. We want revival. We want renewal. But not just so we can feel better, so we can bless the world around us. So we can lead people to Jesus. And God made a vow as well in verse 15. He says, "I will not leave you until I..." done what I promised. And he promises that he's willing to give an inheritance. He promises that he will go with us wherever we go. And he promises that he will watch over us. And God's promises always come through. Always. Joshua 21:45. Not one of the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. God's promises always come through. Philippians 1:6 says, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. His promises never fail. So keep trusting. Keep on waiting because God will come through. What has he promised to you? It may have been a long time ago that God spoke something into your life and he made you a promise. Doesn't matter how long ago it was, God will keep his word. He doesn't forget. You know, sometimes we make big promises and we forget that we even said it. Right? Or maybe I'm the only one that forgets. But God doesn't forget. He always remembers. And he keeps his word. And I want you to know, your situation could change in a heartbeat. In an instant, it could change. And that brings me to my last point. I want to introduce probably a new word to some of you. It's the vicissitude. Yeah. The vicissitude. Literally means a change occurring in the course of something. God can change your situation in an instant. What seems to you to be empty and lowly may become the place that you experience God most powerfully. 1 Kings 19, Elijah encountered God at the cave when he was alone. He was on the run. He was afraid. He was in a cave. And he experienced God in a powerful manner. Jacob in our story is all alone. It's dark. It's in the wilderness for the homeboy. And he experiences God. And God can change things in a hurry. In Romans 4:17, he's the God who calls things that is not as though they were. Remember, Abraham first was Abram, which means exalted father. God changed his name to Abraham, which means father of many nations. Saul in the New Testament was a persecutor of Christians, and he became Paul the apostle. Here in our story, Jacob, the one who undermines, his name will become Israel, which means one who prevails with God. God can change your situation. And when God reveals himself in power, things can change very quickly. When you get a clear vision of God, when you hear his voice, things can radically and rapidly change. Hold on to your horses. It's about to gallop. One of my favorite illustrations of this is in 2 Kings chapter 7. The Israelites were under siege. You remember the story. And it was so bad that they were starting to turn to cannibalism. And I know I've used this one before because it's one of my favorites. And Elisha says, this time tomorrow. They've been under siege so long, they're starting to eat each other. That's how bad it is. And Elisha says, this time tomorrow, a seah of flour will sell for a shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. In other words, there's going to be plenty, and it's going to be cheap. They've been starving for a long time, and he says, this time tomorrow. In fact, they laughed at him. In fact, one of the officers said, "Even if the Lord should open the floodgates of heaven, could this happen?" Did you catch the tone there? I was trying to throw in a little tone. And guess what happened? Exactly what God said happened. Your situation may seem hopeless, but with God, all things are possible. He can work in a way, such a way that things suddenly do a 180, can rapidly change. Now here in Jacob's case, it changed his whole outlook. It changed his surroundings. And this was the first step in a total makeover for Jacob. Later, he's going to change his name after another encounter with God. And he will become Israel. In this instance, it changed the place. In verse 19, he called that place Bethel, though it used to be called Luz. Bethel is the house of God. Luz is separation. So this place used to be a place of separation, but now it is the house of God. Church, Boone Open Bible is Bethel. This is the house of God. We will not be Luz where we are separated from God. This is the house of God. God can change things in an instant. So let's remember and see that God is already with us. He's already here. So let's be attentive and look for him at work amongst us. And let's listen for his voice in our daily situations. Any moment throughout the day, God could speak. And let's trust his promises because he never fails. God has given us some words of encouragement over the years that he plans to make visitation here. He plans to bring revival to this area. Let's hold on to those promises and not give up. And let's commit ourselves to following him. And let's be ready for the change he may bring. Let's encounter the living God. How many want an encounter with God? Even if it brings some change? Okay, lost a few of you there. Okay. If it brings change, it'll be good because God is in it. And I promise to you, I'm not one that wants to make change just to make change. But I believe God is in a season of preparing us, and there may be some changes that he has in mind for us, and I will follow as God leads. And hopefully we'll all be in that together, following God's lead. I want to hear his voice. I want him to work in our church. I want him to make visitation here in Boone, Iowa. We need an encounter with God. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word and your promise that you are always with us. You're always there. Lord, help us to be more aware of your presence. God, I pray that you would make visitation upon us in a strong and a powerful way, Lord God, that would change us forever. God, we welcome you here at Boone Open Bible Church. We want to hear your voice. We want to experience your presence and your power. Lord, do what you want to do, and we surrender ourselves to you. We promise, Lord, to follow you as you lead us. We surrender to you. And we say, Lord, have your way. Have your way here, Lord God. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Let's sing together.